there is a revelation.
I'm saying a possession of a spiritual reality,
something that is real in the environment of the Holy Ghost. You can possess it.
Revival Hub International is a fellowship of believers with a desire to establish the kingdom of our Lord through the intense working of the Holy Spirit.
Let men that speak, speak as the oracles of the living God. Men that have touched the cause.
This message by God's servant Apostle Dudich will bring you quickening and transformation by the Holy Spirit.
Praise the Lord. We are going to begin this evening from 1 Kings chapter 8. You know, whenever a topic is given, the most important thing is to know what is in the heart of God. For God to come at such a time as this to say, consider this. So, probably there's something God is trying to pass across, and that is what we'll have to labor to catch, so we don't end up doing the exegesis and the analysis, and then we miss the actual thing that God wants to pass across. So as we labor in the word, we want to catch it. 1 Kings chapter 18, go to verse 54. Verse 54. Give me in New King James, NKJV. And so it was when Solomon had finished praying all this prayer and supplication to the Lord, that he arose from before the altar of the Lord, from kneeling on his knees with his hands spread up to heaven. Then he stood and blessed all the assembly of Israel with a loud voice. Then he stood and blessed all the assembly of Israel with a loud voice, saying, "Blessed be the Lord who has given rest to his people Israel, according to all that he promised. There has not failed one word of all his good promises, which he promised through his servant Moses." I think I will stop there. What is going on here is that there are certain promises God made to Moses which did not really come to pass when Moses was alive. Some of them came, but God kept, as you will soon find out, kept finding other vessels to continue the program. Eventually, he found David. And most of what God was doing, was trying to achieve with David, is what he has started even as far back as Abraham. But here, the man is praying. And in his prayer is something I want you to see before we start this teaching. Again, we can't exhaust this topic in 3 days. I will only try to do the much I can do within the time we have. So you need to observe his prayer well. This verse of interest, he's saying, "Father, we thank you because you have given rest to your people Israel." I will not go into interpret what he means by "he has given rest," because after now, there were other things that happened in Israel that suggest that they didn't have rest. But there was something he was saying that I will not have the time to talk about, because there's no time, so I can talk about what is more important. And then he said that no word through Moses had failed. God would have thought that by now, we'll be praying this kind of prayer in Nigeria. I think God would have expected that we should be praying, "Oh, let me leave God." Or I think I should have been expecting that we should be praying this kind of prayer for Nigeria. Ha! Blessed be the Lord who has given rest to his people, Nigeria. according to all that he promised. Recently, one of my disciples came and asked me, and said, "Sir, he has been studying Pa Elton's prophecies that almost everything the man prophesied, in fact, all has happened. He got this book where somebody took time to capture all he prophesied. And he could see all has happened except one. And the one that has not happened is the one that has to do with the liberation of Nigeria as a nation." And then he said, "What is causing the delay?" I said, "If you ask me," I said, "go and ask the Holy Spirit." I said, "That thing that is not happening is why we are doing what we are doing. It's become a warfare. And that was a promise that God made to a man that labored over this land. But we are not seeing it. And whereas we want to ask God why we are not seeing it, that would be a foolish question. Because the moment God makes the promise, he releases everything from his end that should make it happen. You will find out as we study further that the people who is on the other side of the promise, the recipients, they have other things to do, that if they don't do, the promises will only start and end as promises. So one of the goals of this teaching is to find out some promises that needs to become reality. If you are still with me, say amen. Amen. So, but there is a key word here. He said he has given Israel rest. Let's go to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 1. I think this one you give me in King James. I like the way King James started it. He said, "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us." No, a promise being left of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Oh yeah, New King James. So I'll just get the meaning. New King James. "Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest," so that was my, "let us fear, lest any of you seem to have come short of it." Verse 2. "For indeed the gospel was preached to us." Before I come here, he said, "Let us fear that there might be a promise remaining that we have not entered. Let's approach the matter with fear, lest any of us should come short of entering into the promise." And when I read it, and I'm asking, what if God has promised me a child and the child does not come, for example, why should I be afraid? So let us therefore fear. Let us therefore fear. It means if God has given a promise, that promise is tied to his agenda. If that promise does not come to fulfillment, it is not just a matter of saying the promise did not happen. God does not promise things at random. God is not a boyfriend that promises things at random. Anything, any promise is given to anybody, whether Abraham, whether Jacob, whether Isaac, whether David. Anytime God gives them a promise, that promise, the fulfillment of that promise has now been tied to the achievement of an aspect of his agenda. God is on a, what do I call it now? what we call the eternal purpose. There's something God is doing. God has been doing something before you came into this earth. And what you came into this earth to do is to continue with what God has been doing. So the eternal purpose of God has a path that was provided for you to fulfill. That thing God started with Adam is what he's still doing. What's your name, bro? Eh? And as far as you think there is so much gap between you and Adam, is that same thing God was doing with Adam that God also wants to do with your life? The only thing now is not the same thing. Different aspects of the same thing. That's what we call the eternal purpose. So when you come in, you will find the path that was cut out for you. Discovering your purpose is discovering your path in the whole eternal, in the eternal purpose. So what you call your purpose is what you are going to contribute in the overall program that God is running. If you don't know it, you are not going to be contributing anything. You will just be doing things and contributing nothing. Your contribution starts coming in. When your contribution starts coming in, it means you've identified your purpose. And your contribution is going to work together with the contribution of other believers to keep the program of God going. So when we see that the program of God is moving at a very slow rate in our time, it's because many people are not involved, but they are in church, but they are not involved. And when you begin to walk with God and begin to, you know, act to obtain promises from him. I said I will not use the word promises until I get to it, but sorry, I'm using it. You're going to obtain promises from him. The reason he's promising you that thing is because that promise is hinging on you achieving that path you have called to achieve. Are you still with me? Let me come again. God has one program. Tomorrow we'll find out what it is. But every believer, everybody in that kingdom, their assignment is related to that one program. So, different assignments to achieve one program. And that's what we call the eternal purpose. Do you understand that? And I said now that many believers have not yet discovered their purpose, meaning that they have not understood their own contribution in that entire program of God. As long as you are in the kingdom, there is something you are supposed to contribute in that whole program. And I say that is because many believers have not even understood that they have a role, have not even started doing anything. They are just coming to church, just moving around and really doing nothing to advance the kingdom. They are just onlookers, standing by. Because many believers, that's the case. An average Christian does not understand his purpose. Just, okay, what is your purpose? I can give this mic here now, and people can answer this question. What's your purpose? Why are you in Revival Hub? How does it connect to why God created you on this earth? How does it connect to what God is doing from the word go? And I say this because many people have not understood their part. That's why it looks like the program of God, especially in Nigeria, is moving slowly. Because if all hands were to be on deck, the speed will be there. This is unlike the other kingdom, where everybody is almost actively involved. The speed is amazing. And you can see the things God is achieving, he's achieving with very few people. He comes, he finds Abraham. He comes, he finds this guy. Very few people. He comes to Noah, he finds only Noah and his family. He didn't find any other person. Of all the people in that generation, successive generations, few people are the people that really worked with God. So it's more like the pressure. It's just like in your family. There's something God wants to do in your family, but you happen to be the only one really peeping into it and pushing for it. Most times you pray and you see what God wants to do, but you are the only one that have to push for it. And this is a family of 10. You now find that It's not moving. It's frustrating. That family can never get to its potential. Like the other family where 6/8 are in the thing. Do you understand? That's why one of your major targets should be to gather your family members into this thing. Let them not just be churchgoers. Let them be kingdom people. Not just church people. Let them be kingdom people. That's the same thing the program of God is suffering. Few people. You come, few people. Few people from the time of Adam. Just a few people. And part of what God wants to do in these last days is to gather multitudes into that thing so they can drive it. So, but don't lose me. What I'm only saying is many people have not onboarded into the program of God. They are not contributing nothing. We can use Revival Hub. Revival Hub represents a dimension of God's program on the earth. And then you see the number of people in Revival Hub. The ministry has grown now. So I will not even know. Unlike those days, at least I can know the key members. Now there are many people, many of you I don't even know. But you see the number of people in Revival Hub. There are people holding it. If you remove them, the thing will collapse. But it's actually supposed to be that if you remove anybody, the thing will start shaking. Will there be a gap created in the ministry if they remove you? I'm not saying the ministry cannot do without you. That's not what I'm saying. Any ministry that can't do without anybody is not God that owns it. It belongs to a man. But what I'm saying is, if you are relevant, once you step out, there will be a gap. Just a small gap. Not that they won't fill the gap, but at least we will know there was a gap. Somebody left. Because somebody left and something, attention was needed to do something he was doing when he left. It's not that somebody left. Everything is intact. Because he's doing nothing. And you'll find that the people that are doing what it takes to drive the ministry, they are doing so much because everybody is not fully involved. If everybody was fully involved as it ought to be, the much that certain people are carrying, the load that certain people are carrying would have been distributed. Did you follow me up to this point?
Yes, sir.
I now said further. My time is already running out. I now said further that for those people that have discovered their purpose, for those people that are actually part of moving God's program and agenda on earth forward, their everyday life is contributing to the overall advancement of God's kingdom. That's one of the things you need to work on. It's not from Monday to Friday. You do nothing to move God's kingdom forward. On Friday, or Saturday and Sunday, you now do something. Your life becomes a normal life when every day of your life, everything you are doing is advancing God's kingdom one way or the other. You don't have to be a preacher to do that. That's when I know you've understood your purpose. Even if you are selling corn, going to buy corn and sell it, all that time is ministry that is moving. Kingdom is advancing. Because the other people, they have ordered their life in such a way that anything they are doing is advancing their kingdom. They don't have to come to a special time and now say, we now want to advance kingdom. It's automatic. That's where we want to get to. If you are like that man that has discovered his purpose, and your life now is advancing God's kingdom, as you walk with God and you achieve it, God will come and make a promise to you. Let's leave Abraham first. There are promises God has made to you. There are promises God has made to Revival Hope. Those promises came as the ministry was serving. God will come and say, I will do this thing. That thing he said he will do is tied to the fulfillment of that your path. That purpose, that thing you want to achieve, that promise We need to, there is a stage you get to. If that thing God said happened, did not happen, your own ministry cannot move forward. That's why he said, let us therefore fear. If certain things God said about this nation does not happen now, it means there are certain things that has not been done. I will show you that there is no one promise that didn't have conditions. So, we are in this mess because some things were not done. Some promises have not come to pass. Look at the way Nigeria is. Sometimes I don't want to go into the news. By virtue of where I work, we have access to some very disheartening information. So, but there's something he said in verse 2. I hope I don't need to repeat. Did you understand? If we start doing the technicalities, you need this foundation to understand it. There's something he said in verse 2. The gospel was preached to us as well as to them. This is a comparison between us and them. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. I will not read further. But what you will find out when you read further is that because of this challenge, they did not enter that rest. And the consequences of not entering that rest is what led to most of the damage you saw in the Old Testament. That God came to a point and said, this covenant is ineffective. I can't continue with it. I'm going to make a new covenant. This one is Wade can't do anything, so no, I'm going to do a new one. That was part of their failure to enter that rest. So this man is doing an analysis, a comparison between us and them. He said, let us too, let's fear. Because if we fail to enter a promise that remains, let's fear that we should fall short. Verse 1, that we should fall short. It means if the promise does not come to pass, we are the ones that fell short. It's not that God does not. Somebody messaged me recently and I was just civil in responding. The person told me in all that he wrote, the person might be listening because the guy met me after 24 hours because I was tired. I just gave him my number. I said, ask me whatever on WhatsApp, can't talk. Now he's battling with pornography. He has done everything. And it appears as though God does not want to help him. That's what got me offended. Because for you to watch pornography, you need to download it. No be so. You need to play it. No be so. No be so. Then you need to sit down or stand up or lie down. I suspect they lie down most of the time. And then you need to what? Watch. Who downloaded? Who played? Who watched? Then you now say God does not want to help you. If you are dealing with an addiction and you still have mindset that there is another help that is coming from God, the help is already available. You are waiting for one help, and in your mind, the help you are looking for, let's say, like this man that is watching, the help he's looking for is for God to just come and snatch the phone when he's about to download it off the internet and say, stop. Stop, don't do that. That's the kind of help he's waiting for. He say, oh Lord, help me. It means God, oh Lord, help me. He's on YouTube. Oh Lord, I don't know where they download the thing, but I think YouTube is censored. They don't allow some things. Maybe There are people that are above the law. I don't know which side. It takes effort to download a video of that magnitude from online. It takes patience to wait. Even when network is not good, the man who say he's addicted will look for a better network in his bid to download this thing. And in all this, his effort, God does not want to help him. He said, therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short. If it didn't happen, you fell short of it. Don't blame God. Does that make sense? So if Nigeria did not enter his destiny, the Nigerian church fell short of it. Let us fear. Because the people he's comparing you with, they fell short of it. And because of that, God abolished that whole thing. Do you know what happened in the old covenant? Most of the prophets and the people we might reference today as example of ministry are from that covenant that God abolished. Today we talk about Elijah, we talk about Moses, we talk about where Abraham was not of that covenant, but Abraham gave birth to the two. How many of you already know that? He gave birth to the two. He gave birth to the New Testament first, and gave birth to the Old Testament second. So what happened? But the Old Testament went first. So the New Testament came before the Old Testament in the order of coming. But the Old Testament came before the New Testament in the order of execution. This is the argument in Galatians chapter 3. Because everything Abraham experienced was New Testament reality. Abraham had justification by faith. In the congregation of Moses, it's justification by works. There is a list, but that's not where I'm going. But what am I saying? I'm saying that the greatness, this is a covenant where God raised somebody like Moses, where God raised somebody like Samuel, where God raised somebody like Elisha, where God raised somebody like Elijah. Do you know who is Elijah? If I pick out the life and ministry of any man in the Old Testament and begin to analyze it, fire will fall here because of what God did with them. At one point, they came and met Elisha and said, "We borrowed an axe and we are using it to do some construction work, and it fell into the river." And he said, "Help us, man of God, for it was borrowed. It's not our own." The man said, "Give me a stick." I'm telling you the things that happened in that covenant. You know the story now. I don't want to digress. Don't have the time. And then God came one time and said, "I have abolished it. It's not effective." Why? Certain people came short of a promise of entering the rest. They fell short of that promise. It ended that whole thing. It's a comparison to let you know that you can't just, don't just think that the thing God said did not happen. You just do without it. "So God did not give me a son, so I forget about it." But the reason God promised to give you a son, it's because the part of the ministry he gave to you that he is not going to allow you to do, he has already designed that you will have a son that is going to advance that ministry. I take example with David. So God already designed that David, because of the nature of his own ministry, he had a lot of fighting. His seed was going to take over that aspect of ministry that had to do with, building him a temple. Are you with me? If you are with me, say amen.
Amen.
I don't want to tell story. I want to give you what you need. So let's say you are like that. There's that part of your ministry. It's not as if you can't do it, but God just wants your son to do it. But when you got married, and on that basis, God said you're going to have a son. But when you got married, things didn't go as it should to produce that promise. What happens now is that your wife is barren. Or your wife is only having girls. Or whatever. There is barrenness. Something is stopping that promise from coming to pass. You are not wise to think that it's all about your son. It's all about the program of God. If you fail to have a son, that program ends. Let us therefore fear. The promise is hanging on something. It's not just about promising you a birthday cake. Just about promising you a vehicle, promising you. The promise is tied to eternity. It's eternal in nature. It has to happen. You must see to it that it comes to pass so that things will move. And he said, and that's where I'm going to end this night. He said that the reason they did not enter that rest is because of what? I'm in verse 2 now. He said, the reason they did not enter that rest is because of what? Put it in Old King James so they will see the answer. I like the lady that was reading Bible reading. She will read and choose some verses at random and tell everybody to read together. The reason is because there are people that can't focus. Their focus level is less than 5 minutes. This is the same reason why they can't pray well. They can't ascend. Focus level is too short. It's the same reason why they cannot study the Bible and go in depth. Focus level is too short. If you need to get into the depth of the scripture, you need time. You need time. If you are distracted, I see what some people do. Their phone is their note. They take notes with their phone. When they take one note, they reply to two chats. Well, you should have noticed you're not really getting anything out of that stuff because of your focus level. Try to expand your focus level so that you can focus for a very long time. You can focus for a very long time. Today is harder for me because I have two children. And anytime I'm around, they will leave their mother alone and come. So if I enter here, they will come. So the only way is to go out of the house. And I like staying in the house because once I'm in the tent, people you know send for will start knocking. So somebody is here to see you. Somebody is here to see you. Somebody is here to see you. And they never have anything useful to see you for. It's people that have refused to labor. That wants to transfer the labor to you. Though not all, but mostly. So I try to, tell your neighbor, increase your focus level. Okay, let me see if I can round up. He said the reason they did not enter the rest is because of unbelief. There was a problem with faith. It means this discussion is a discussion of faith, which is going to push me to this other direction. You know what is faith now? Don't you know what is faith? You don't know what is faith? What is faith? You are quoting Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. That means it's the academic knowledge you have. Do you know what is faith by experience? Why are you not going ahead with your masters? If you have faith, you decided to stop because the economy is hard. When God says you do masters, how do you know faith? why did you abandon some of the things that God has promised to do? Because the economy, when God was promising you, did he tell you he will fund it with this economy? That's actually why we are doing this topic. We will drive to that point. Some people have already piped down. Removing things that God asked them to put, because they can't find means within themselves to still push it further. They have valued whatever it is they are doing, and they remove things that God says should be there, because they don't see, what is faith? What is faith? What is faith? Faith is not in Hebrews chapter 11. Faith is in your experience and your walk with God. It's when you experience it, you go back to Hebrews chapter 11, you say, wow. I started playing this keyboard before I learned anything about music. I've gone to music schools, and I can play a couple of instruments. At least I can do that. I can do the drum. I can do the bass. And small of the saxophone. What pushed me, what made me that good? At some point in my town, I was one of the best. There was no church in that town I did not go to play keyboard for. And when I come, they give me fat honorarium. In fact, I traveled to the West those days to go and play keyboard. They will pay my transport, pay everything. What am I going to play keyboard? Once I enter, I'll see a large choir that is as big as some congregations. And they say, all the way from Ebonyi State, can we welcome our keyboardist? And then I will now bounce to the... I was not a believer then, just for you to know. I will now bounce to the altar with my head that is fried. And I'll go and do one small scale. Everybody will carry their hand on their head. Flesh, flesh, flesh. But why did I say it? I started playing it. The reason I started playing it was not out of interest. It was out of need. So in those days, we were in this church, and we had more drummers than keyboardists. We had 11 drummers, and we had 2 keyboardists. Out of the 11 drummers, I was either number 10 or number 11. So we never get space to touch the drum. Our passion to play drums was denied because there are at least 8 people better than you. So those days, we will come by 6:30 and set the equipment, set the drum, set with hope, and we'll be praying that the other person should not come. Should not come. Should not come. How many of you can relate? Nobody said, I want to play drum. Unfortunately, 2 minutes to the beginning of service, that other person will just come. And they are always not serious. They won't comply with the rules of dressing. They won't comply with, but they are the ones that can play the drum. So the choir, the music director will just say, shift. We want good music. You are like a cow. Just back. So we protested during choir rehearsal and say, let's have a rule here. How does this thing work? They say, it's the person that comes early. 7 is early, oh. 7 is early. But this, my guy, we come by 8:30, 8:45. Choir coordinator will start bending the rule. You are not supposed to come late. You are not supposed to come late. You have to be serious in this choir. Or you are going to play the drum. I say, no, now. Those days, I seized drumstick. I seized drumstick because I was supposed to play. And somebody came and played. I collected the stick and went to the children department and stayed there. They wanted to play drum. There is no stick. They started looking for me. They even went to pluck stick to start first while they are looking for me. Eventually, they found me in children department. The kind of beating they gave me that day. So I now knew that I wonder why today you'll be looking for these instrumentalists now. I don't know what's happening. I told some of my guys that all of you are here. There is keyboard, there is drum. Only one person, two people, highest. Once they are not around. What is your value? What is your not you? What's your value to the ministry? Those days I can do everything. I can sing. I was a choir coordinator at that point too. I have done ushering, but I don't like it. Because when I do ushering, there's always fight and conflict. Because I don't take nonsense. If I say you should not sit here and you sit here, I don't care that they are preaching, or I say stand up. The reason I'm standing here is for you to respect yourself. See, we embarrass ourselves in this church. Go. You say, young man, give my friend, or God, stand up from this seat. I will carry you on this seat. So they will say, I should not do ushering. So I left that one. But I do every other thing well, except this one. So, who does he think that he is? That he cannot obey. I did all of those things. Today, somebody is in a ministry. Young man, we are looking for keyboardists. All you can do in the ministry is to pray. When we are praying, you join the... That's all. Anyway, when I now saw there was no hope for that drum, I also observed another thing that time, is that the two keyboardists were drummer. The two keyboardists were doctors. One day like that, two of them will not be available. Church that day will just be done. We'll just be switching tone and playing rubbish. You know, once you remove sound, this thing, sometimes. So I decided to patch with one of the doctors and I started learning the thing. So because I didn't understand what he was doing, I felt his left hand was better than his right, was slower than his right hand. So I left the left hand first. So when I started playing keyboard, I will keep my right hand in my pocket and use my left hand. Do, 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 do. This is my story. Eventually, when I mastered the left hand and now saw the right hand, what he was doing, I was able to get a feel of it. And then when I got the whole concept, I went and downloaded Dominion songs and started scoring it. 5 years after that, I was already playing. And I now went to a music school. As they began to teach the stuff, I was understand. They were explaining my experience. Do you understand? They were explaining what I was already doing. So I was the best in the class. And all of that. Why did I tell this long story? It's to say that faith is not the substance of things. That's the academics. If we mention faith, there is something that is going on with you that should immediately tell you to have faith. This morning I was supposed to leave my house by 5 o'clock, as usual. When I woke up around 3 and began to pray towards 5, my spirit, because there's a lot of kidnapping on the roads and I'm on the road nearly every week. I don't move until I have a clearance. I move with a cloud. So my spirit was damp. I know what that means. It means I should not go. It means I should not go. I should not go. I should not go. Why shouldn't I go? Why shouldn't I go? I need to go because even if I don't go to work, I need to be at Newe. Ordinarily, if I feel like that, I'll just tell them I can't come today. Let me walk from here. We'll have an office there. But because of this program, I entered the road. I had gone 1 kilometer. Because I told God one thing. I said, if that car make any kind of noise, I will go back. The noise came 5 times, so I went back. When they woke up for morning devotion, they saw me. I told them, they say, well, what are you doing? I said, there's no clearance to go yet. I will go by 8. So by 8, I left. I went to a mechanic. I already texted the mechanic to be out by 8. I told him to check that noise. He checked it. It didn't take him more than 10 minutes. He corrected it. Just something simple. So I knew that's not why I didn't go. Because that could have gotten me here. So when he corrected it and I moved, I was now hearing other noises that I have not heard before. It was as if I wanted to turn to go back. And the only thing he said, keep going. Ah, I said, what about this noise? He said, the one. Let me leave the details. He just said, keep going. So as I'm going, he said, keep going. The noise will leave as you go. So as I'm going, my mind is so fixed on that noise that I can't think of anything else. Shall when I'm drink, it will. I say, Jesus, can't I just go back? They can check this thing. Keep going. I'm giving you today's experience. After like 40 minutes, he said, take out your mind. So I decided to now put one loud music. Why not? So I won't be hearing it. But my mind is still there. That's the problem with faith. It's hard to take out your mind. Very hard. With the whole sound, somehow I can still hear it. It's the ear of unbelief. I said, so I don't get faith like this, oh, and I can't teach faith. So I kept taking my mind until at some point my mind left the thing. I just kept going. I didn't know when the noise stopped. I suddenly remembered. And then, no noise again. No noise. Purposely enter that room, do everything. No noise again. I say, wow. We are learning every day. And what is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. So Nigeria economy is down. The substance, you have removed the substance. But this is the point, oh, so that I can stop. Faith, because I'm not talking about faith. I'm just telling you that the promises of God is a subset of the subject of faith. When you talk about faith, we talk about the promises. The superstructure is a subtopic. So faith can be deployed on three bases. In order for your faith to be deployed, there are three bases upon which you can deploy faith. Basis number one is what we call spiritual facts. Facts, 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 facts. I'd like you to treat facts as a sign check. Fact. You know what I mean by fact? F-A-C-T-X. When somebody is deploying his faith, that faith is deploying first on the basis of facts. Spiritual facts. What are facts? And I say I'd like you to treat it as a sign check. Anytime you find facts in scripture, they're always in past tense. They always in past tense. For example, when they say Jesus died for your sins, the death of Jesus is always presented in past tense, not in present and not in the future. It means it's been paid for. Salvation is a spiritual fact. So why do you believe that when you go for evangelism and lead that person to pray, the person will be saved? There's a fact that you are deploying that faith on. Do you understand? Are you getting what I'm saying? It's a fact of scripture, salvation. Another one is healing. By his stripes, we were healed. If you are sick, the basis upon which I can lay my hands to pray for that sickness to go is because there is a fact. Is a fact in scripture. Spiritual fact. There are many other things. He was made poor. He was made poor. He was made poor. So that through his poverty, we might become rich. The reason our own is become is because it is what we do with that fact that will determine our result. Just like we were healed and people are still sick, we were saved and people are still not born again. You can deploy faith on spiritual facts. Once you have a revelation of the fact, faith is deployed, it will happen. And when I say is a sign check, it means that everything included on that check, salvation, no, healing, no, and all of them you find in scripture, we are already procured by the finished works of Christ. It means Jesus signed the check for you. All you just need to come is come and cash it. Come and cash it. Come and cash it. If you find it, you cash it. You understand it, you cash it. You understand it, you cash it. Are you following that? You understand it, you cash it. It's a fact of scripture. Anytime you find a fact of scripture, if it's not showing in your life, deploy your faith on it and you bring it out. But under fact, I also have to say this. Under fact, there are scriptural facts, and non-scriptural facts, because facts does not end with scripture. That one I call non-scriptural facts, like salvation, all these things. But non-scriptural facts, you discover them in your relationship. For example, Papa will say that once his leg is burning, there's an angel standing beside him. That's a fact. He said, I can feel my leg burning now. The angel that works with me wants to do something. That's a fact. You will go from the fact in the scripture to the fact in your own walk with God. There are things that happen, and I know certain things want to happen. It cannot fail if you have understood it. That's how ministry is done. I know when God wants to move and when he doesn't want to move. I know when God wants to heal. I'm still training, you know. I won't come here and tell you I've understood everything. In my work, I have mastered some facts that are true. But I know some people are bothered with the word fact, you know. Just leave it like that. Some facts, some truths that are correct with me. If you have worked with God long enough, you will know. Some people tell you that when their hand becomes hot, burning, it means God wants to heal. I remember one guy back then when I was serving. If he feels pain, he said, oh, there's somebody with knee pain here. And he's never wrong. If he feels back pain, he said, there's somebody with back pain. I don't feel those things. I don't know those things. I know when God is saying go, when the Urim and the Thummim is green. And I know when he's saying stop. I went for a retreat in Abuja in 2021. So I booked my flight coming. And did bus going. How did I go? I think I did bus going. How did I go? No, I flew to Abuja. And I did a return ticket. On the day to return, I woke up to order Uber and they said, no flight, park. Sir, what will happen? Will the flight crash? It's none of your business. It's none of your business. When has that entered? But God, I started calculating all the bombs in Kogi. If you have traveled to Abuja, you know, once you get to, what do they call it? If you go to Enugu, once you pass Obolo and get to that junction where you go left, what's that place called again? That place is in Benue State. You know, is it Otupa? Is it Otupa? Yeah, you go left. Then when you start going left, you start entering bombs, up to 300 bombs. I thought of the stress. As I want to go, so the 15 letter took me. Why? If it's a spiritual fact, anytime it comes up, that thing it is bringing is always true. So that's fact. The second thing, that you can deploy your faith on is promises. Promises. This is where we are bringing promises out to discuss it. It's tomorrow I will do the work on this. But just this foundation laying ceremony. Promises. Three promises. Promises is supposed to be three, but I'm putting it second for a reason. You'll find out in the next few minutes. Promises. Put promises as unsigned checks. Unsigned checks. Jesus did not sign that one for you. So you fulfill the conditions that will cash it. And exactly what I've been talking about since we started. It is still on the basis of the finished works of Christ, but they left the check unsigned. All checks came from the finished works of Christ. So as far as I put check there, you know you can link it up to what Jesus did. But this particular check, he didn't sign it, so it's not for free. There are things you need to do for you to cash it. Are you following it? I'm using the check stuff to explain it. And I don't have time. Should I read some other scriptures? There are one or two scriptures I can read. Maybe let me do two. Do Hebrew chapter 10. That Hebrew chapter 10 we read. Hebrews chapter 10. Maybe let's do 35 and 36. Hebrew 10, 35. Show me. Say, cast not my pleas, my translation. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance. Here, the condition is endurance. There is a price of endurance. So after you have done the will of God, another condition, you may receive the promise. It will always come with a condition. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Let's do 2 Corinthians 7. These two we can move. I just want to show you why it's not signed. It will always... Here I say you have done, after you have done the will of God, after you have done the will of God, after you have done the will of God, then you receive the promise. You must do it. If you don't do it, it remains hanging. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves. This is where your own job is. From all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. So, promises are on sign checks. They left a path for you to do. There's nothing you need to do for your healing. Jesus paid it in full and delivered it. Once you anchor your faith on it, you get it. These ones, whatever promises they are talking about, promises has conditions attached to them. When you understand them, you need to understand the conditions. The third thing that you can anchor your faith on, that's where I will stop for this night. So we can pray. Is covenant. Covenant. Treat covenant like a blank check because it's inexhaustible. I don't have time again. I promised you the mother will pray for 30 minutes. But I have to stop here. I stop here, I will not finish. What do I do now? Okay, let me take 5 more minutes. After 5 minutes, you change your sound.
Which key are you playing on? After 5 minutes.
Covenant. What is covenant? Briefly. I'm not giving any definition because you people are used to definitions that never works. God is in the business of relationships. I hope you know. Actually, one of the differences between God and Satan is relationship. We say our priesthood is the superior priesthood. Is that right? One of the things that makes our priesthood superior is that the two principal components of any priesthood has three principal three components. No one is less. Number one is the spirit. Number two is the priest. The spirit is the one that is seeking service and seeking commitment and seeking whatever. Number three is the altar. The priest is the one representing the spirit, of course, you know. Number three is the altar. The altar is where the spirit and the priest meet to transact. So the priest is mandated to visit his altar every day so he can be effective in that priesthood. Because the spirit is always on the altar anytime you come. So that consistency is demanded of you so that you can have power with that spirit. So, in God's righteous priesthood, there's a relationship that exists between the spirit and the priest. There's no other priesthood that has it. Satan does not have a relationship with his people. Because he can't live inside of them. And many of those things are not of that. But what am I saying? Covenant, God is a relationship person. And he only relates with people on the basis of covenant. God does not do boyfriend and girlfriend. He does not do one night stand. He does not do anything that is outside covenant. The moment God wants to have a relationship with you, like Abraham, he will say, bring a heifer. Tear it into two. If you read that scripture, I think it's in Genesis chapter 17. Tear the heifer into two and pour the blood. You! No, God say, I will pass. I don't know. Whoever did first. Pass in between it. As you are passing in between the slaughtered animal, what it means that if you violate this covenant, you will be like that animal. Then, God, the Bible says, God came down and passed in between that thing. That's how he does relationship. And then to seal it, you know, this thing we call ring. He said, you and Isaac and all your households, you'll be circumcised. Covenant is blood. Blood relationship. That's why you should be very careful with immoral sins like fornicating. But most times, what you think is that it's only when you sleep with a virgin that there is a, what do you call it? Contact with blood. For every sexual intercourse, there is blood. Because there's what we call the estrogen. If it is not activated, if that hormone is not activated in a woman, there are things that activate it. I'm not here to say that. And one of the things that activate it is not seeing you naked. It doesn't activate it. So for some men that go and undress, hey, the girl will pass through the other door. But your own can be activated by sight, not for them. For them, they need other things. When you are ready to get married, you can come. I will coach you. So you can have a good marriage. Marriage without sex is rubbish. But sex is not a good reason to marry. And the purpose of sex is not childbirth. If you have to give birth for all the sex you have, that means your family will be larger than Revival Home. And you will need more than one wife to achieve that. And your marriage will be filled with difficulties and problems. This is not a session. So, you know, some people are saying, why is he saying this? It's so corrupt. There's nothing corrupt about it. It's your mind that is corrupt. It's the people that can't say it that do the worst. I tell the girl in my office, cover your breast, my friend. Because I've said it, it makes it, if tomorrow I change, I can't change because you have shame. Always say this. Cover your breast, my friend. And come to my table again with this kind of thing. Dress well. Cover that breast. You know, cover it. Then, she feels so embarrassed that I said breast. And everybody actually have to look at her breast to see that. Then she knows I have no interest in the breast. If I have interest, I won't mention it in the public. Maybe you know. Some of you have... The Bible says be innocent as a dove. Some of you are not innocent. Remember those days when in the village, just two minutes, Jesus, when the village and somebody said, darkness, leper took light. And somebody said, remove your hand from my breast. I said, hey, everyone shouted, hey! Light came and said, What's happening? Light went off. But some people, once that hand comes to it, they will keep quiet. They are not the one that made the advance, but they like it. They will keep quiet. A lady will come to your WhatsApp and tell you, hi, baby boy. You answer. You are not innocent. The day somebody told me, hi, babe, I said, this is, you are chatting with Pastor Chuka. Okay. Hope you didn't mix the number. He said, of course, I know. I said, if you know, you can't be calling me babe. Hope you are not out of your mind. I said, no, it's just a way I greet everybody. I said, exclude me from everybody. And let this be the last time you will call me babe. It's inappropriate. And the way I've said it is the best. This one I have done is the best I can do. If you try it, they will sell the next one. They will sell another one. You're not innocent. That's not my message. Sorry. How did I get here? How did I get here, bro? When God is in a relationship, he can decide to give you something, he can decide not to give you. But that's by the way. Covenant is that if God wants to, and I just mentioned something, but let's see, God wants to relate, blood must be involved. There's nobody he did it with. They didn't kill anything. There's no relationship he entered where they didn't kill anything. In the relationship that bettered you and I, they killed his son. Check all of them. They kill things every time. Once you draw that blood, the basis for the relationship has started. Because if you mess up, you cannot mess up with him. One scripture you will show for me in Hebrews chapter 8. Be looking for it. Why? Look for the verse before I get there. And that's why there's nothing God did with anybody in scripture that was not a covenant. Hebrews chapter 8 verse 6. I think 8 verse 6. 8 verse 6 so I can round up. Let's use 5 minutes and pray. I have 2 minutes to 5 minutes. But now, 5. Verse 5. 6. No time. 6. Now Jesus, 6. But now, New King James, young lady and young man. But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. I want to link 2 and 3. Recall, we are talking about deploying your faith on 3 bases. It says, is a mediator of a better covenant, which was the covenant was established on better promises. What's the implication? Anytime God enters a covenant, he starts making promises. From scripture, you will see it. God entered a covenant with Adam, the Adamic covenant. And every covenant has. Now that's the mystery of this teaching. Every covenant has what God wants you to achieve for him. and what he wants to achieve through it, and then what he's going to do for you in return. That's what we call the obligation and the benefits of covenant. So when God enters it, he will tell you what he wants to achieve from it, and then he will tell you what he's going to do for you. Remember, we are talking about the promises of God. I'm making it up for you. You see, I'm doing the connection so that you will see where we are. Now I'm going to end. Now I'm going to end. In Adam, we find out, majorly in scripture, you will know what the promises are. In Adam, God entered a covenant with him, and the what God wanted him to do is to manage the earth. Have dominion. Keep it. Is the management of the earth that God wanted to achieve with man. So that was his responsibility. God entered a covenant with Noah. And what God wanted from Noah, that's the Noahic covenant. They have Adamic, seven covenants in the Bible that you can relate with. You have the Adamic covenant. You have the Noahic covenant. Enter with Noah. And what is he trying to achieve? I want to retain a righteous breed because I want to destroy this earth. You need to give me one full family, both of human beings and animals, and then I can replenish the earth again after I have destroyed it. When Noah was done, he came to Abraham, the Abrahamic covenant. And that is that's the covenant that carries the greatest weight. One of the things he asked Abraham to do for him is to also manage this earth. That's where some of you have not known. That's actually the most important thing. That's the most important thing, this earth. Before he started talking about, from you I will raise a nation. That nation is Israel. From that nation, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. And one of the questions you'll be asking, how did the church come into the picture? Because he said he will raise a nation, and through that nation. So how did the church come into the picture? That's one of the mathematics we'll do tomorrow. Because that nation is the Jewish nation. And you are not a Jew, you are a Gentile. But that's by the way. From Abraham, he went to Moses, the Mosaic covenant. All this one, if we go, I will show you the promises, the obligations. From Moses, he went to David. From David, he went to Christ. And we can track, that's why I say God is on one program. We can track from Abraham down to David, down to Christ, down to you. Guess what? From Christ, he has continued. That's why I say, call it blank check. There are many things. It's inexhaustible. So, God also has covenant with Apostle Edu. And the thing he asked him to do is to raise, at least one of them, is to restore the ministry of prayer in the body of Christ. That covenant has certain promises. That's the mystery. Many times we don't know the promises. We need to find it out. You think Apostle does not know what God has promised him in this huge assignment? He is watching to see which one has been fulfilled and what he needs to do for this one to come and what he needs to do for this one to come. God wanted to restore apostolic Christianity. He chose a man and gave him the work. That's covenant. Covenant has continued. Everything going on now are with covenant people. And each of those covenants, they are promises. God is attaching some heavy, heavy promises that he wants to do through some of those things that he is doing through those people. My brother, the time has come for you to discover the promises. For us, what concerns us is that in Revival Hub, there's a covenant and there are promises. And none of us are involved in it. What is important is for you to uncover what those promises are and start paying the price to cash them out. Start signing those checks. So you know, you may mirror soap, they enter your eye. We are going to pray here. I don't usually give prayer points. You pray as you have been ministered to. You have just 2 minutes. Everywhere, go ahead and pray. You pray as you have been ministered to.
Whatever you heard, you can respond in prayer. What's this? What's the question that the Spirit of God is asking you? What's the expectation from you? It means that the only way to bring these promises out is a work of faith. But some of us, our faith is going down instead of going up. Some of us think that it has become too difficult for God to keep his promises because the environment has become so bad. We are using the environment to analyze the promises that God has made concerning our lives, concerning our territories, concerning our destinies.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not.
Help me with this song.
But only on Jesus' name.
Oh, Christ the Son, oh, Christ the Son, oh, the
Lord,
oh, Lord, the ground,
is seeking sun.
Oh, Christ,
oh, Christ the Son, Rock I stand,
all the ground
is sinking sand.
All of the ground
is sinking sand. Darkness seems to hide his face. I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil.
We believe God's word came to you in accuracy and power. To connect to the ministry of God's servant, Apostle Edu Udechukwu, send us a message on WhatsApp via the number +234 813 007 4040 or email at revivalhopglobal@gmail.com. To access transforming messages and partner with us, visit our website at www.revivalhopinternational.org. Follow us on all our social media platforms at Revival Hub International and on YouTube at Apostle Edu Udechukwu. God bless you.